as Psalm 103, as a call to worship. Sit back and settle your hearts and listen to the words of the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are made. He remembers that we're but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone. Its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, all you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. A reading from Psalm 103. Jesus says this to those who would follow Him. If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. And then Hebrews 11 is a remarkable chapter that delineates people who have gone before us, who have exercised this virtue of faith that God requires for justification. And He says this in Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 32. After He goes through many examples of faith, He says, "And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect. They looked for another country whose builder and founder is God Himself." Our speaker this morning comes to us with a particular burden and message. If you notice, he's an older man, not much older than myself, but and I talked this week, and I said to Billy, I said, "So why are you doing this? You know, I assume you're retired." And he says, "Yeah, I am retired. About 3 years before I was retired, I read this book by this fellow named John Piper, Don't Waste Your Life. And it talked about the retirement years and challenged us to think about these as the most profitable years in service to the Lord. And then went to an Iron Sharpens Iron conference and was challenged during that conference to think about, what would you have me to do in my retirement? How can I serve you with my life?" And it wasn't but before the end of the conference that he turned to his wife, Anne Marie, and said, "I know what the Lord wants me to do. He wants me to be a speaker for the Voice of Christian Martyrs and to speak on behalf of the persecuted church around the world." So one of the requirements of the Voice of Christian Martyrs is that those who sign up go through the training and then they do a minimum of 8 presentations per year. They have to line up their own presentations, get into churches, talk to pastors, get everything set. And I asked Bill, "How many have you done?" And he said, "Well, between 20 and 30 a year." So he's met more than the minimal requirement by far. He says that Thursdays is his pastor hunting day, where he just goes and drives past churches and looks for lights on. And then he visits and shares his burden with pastors. It was about a year ago since Bill and I met the first time, when he stumbled into our church foyer and we had a talk. And there's always other things that are going on and already scheduled, but the Lord just kept nagging and putting on my heart the message that Bill could share with us. So Bill and his wife, Anne Marie, come to us this morning to share with us their burden. And we look forward to hearing the challenge. I pray that God would open our hearts. And as we're listening, saying, "So what, God? Yes, move me. What do you want me to do? How can we help as the Church of Jesus Christ here? And how can you prepare us for the last days in which we live?" So please welcome with me Bill as he comes and shares with us.
Thank you, Pastor, for having me here this morning. A couple of corrections I have to make. It was not an Iron Sharpens Iron conference, because that's a men's conference, so my wife wasn't with me. It was a Voice of the Martyrs conference where that happened. But I did pick up a book at the Iron Sharpens Iron conference, which was called Tortured for Christ, and that is another part of my journey. And we'll get to that in a minute. But as Pastor said, I volunteer with the Voice of the Martyrs. I've been doing it for about 2.5 years now. And the Voice of the Martyrs is an interdenominational Christian organization that was started by Richard Wurmbrand and his wife Sabina in 1967. Richard's history was that he was a pastor in Romania during the Nazi occupation. And when the Nazis were forced out by the Russian troops, communism came in, he ended up in prison because he refused to denounce Christ and pronounce that communism was the way to go. And Richard spent a total of 14 years in prison. He was in for 5.5 years. He was released. He was ordered not to ever talk about Jesus again. He went back to his underground church and started preaching. And he was free for a couple years. And he was rearrested, put back in prison. While Richard was in prison, he spent 3 years in solitary confinement in a cell that was located 30 feet underground. So for 3 years, he didn't see the sun or anything. The only thing he saw was the people who came to torture him. His wife, Sabina, was told to forsake her husband, to denounce him, and to divorce him. And she refused to do that, because it was one of the psychological things that they used on prisoners, was to get their wives to divorce them and remarry so that they could go into them and tell them, you know, even your wife doesn't doesn't want anything to do with you. She's divorced you. She's with another man now, and you're nothing. But Sabina refused to do that. So she spent 3 years in a labor camp because of that. After he was released the second time, they were ransomed out of Romania and ended up coming to the United States. And in early 1960s, Richard went before Congress and testified as to what had happened to him. He stripped to the waist and he showed the wounds on his body. And there were 18 significant wounds on his torso from the tortures that he went through. And after this, they began a ministry. They were going around to churches, talking to Christians in the free world to let them know what had happened to them and also what was happening to other Christians throughout the communist world. And they started a newsletter, and you all got a copy of a newsletter when you came in today. And this newsletter is still published. It's published on a monthly basis, and it's a free newsletter. It's something you can sign up for, and Anne-Marie has some clipboards she's going to pass around if you want to sign up for it. As I said, it's free. Just write legibly, and please put your full address. People out in Oklahoma don't exactly know where that street is unless you put the city and the state and the zip code kind of thing on it. Okay? So please just do that. Just fill out the clipboards and just pass them to the back, and we'll collect them later. Now, as Pastor mentioned, I'm retired. And when we were talking on Thursday, he asked me to address some of the folks here in the congregation who are approaching retirement. And I told him, yeah, I'd do that, because he offered to give me an extra 30 minutes to talk. I see a look on his face. When did I say that? No. I do that to get a reaction out of pastors and to see if they're paying attention, and he was. So, but I don't normally talk about myself too much in this, but you know, when I was approaching retirement, as he said, I read this book by John Piper, Don't Waste Your Life, and it told me that there was something that I needed to be doing, and I didn't know what that was. And I got this book, Tortured for Christ. I read it. It was very impactful. And I have these today also out on the table in the foyer. They're free, so please, until they're gone, help yourself. When you're finished reading it, pass it on to someone else. But they are there. I read that, paired that with what John Piper had said to me, and I decided there was something I needed to do. And I didn't know what it really was, but God just talked to me about the voice of the martyrs and what it is and what it does. And as I was going to a regional conference that we hold, it had been the second or third one that Anne-Marie and I had gone to, and we were driving down there, and I just said, you know, I really feel that I need to get involved with this ministry, but I have absolutely no idea how to do that. And so when we were there, it was a weekend when there was a hurricane coming through, and one of the speakers was stuck in Virginia, couldn't get there. And so this woman got up and started talking about the volunteers who do this, to bring the message of persecution to the churches throughout the United States, throughout the free world. And it just spoke to me. And that's the instance then when I turned to Anne-Marie and I said, this is what I need to be doing. I need to be involved with this and find out about that. So as retirement approached, I got the information. When retirement was coming, I signed up. I got into the training program, got trained, and started doing this. So the message to the folks who are getting close to to retirement is that you need to not look at retirement as a time to play golf or tennis or whatever. You fill in the blank. I mean, you can do that, but don't spend your life doing that. There's lots of things out there that you can get involved in. And, you know, you might be asking yourself, how can God use me? And, you know, I ask that question too. How can he use me? I'm just an ordinary guy. I don't have any formal training, so to speak. I'm insecure. I'm unsure about myself. And the answer came to me to just turn it over to God. When I said, you know, I can't figure this out. I said, God, it's your problem. You figure it out and you tell me what you want me to do. And he did. And so that's where I'm at. So guys and ladies, if you're getting close to retirement, just think about that. So that's the part I don't usually talk about. So now we'll get back to what I normally talk about. In the newsletter you have on the back, there's a list of the five main purposes of the Voice of the Martyrs, what we do, why we do it. I won't go through those, but this newsletter also has some great information in it. There are stories in here about Christians who are being persecuted. It's individuals, countries, communities where persecution is taking place. It's very specific. In the middle, there's a little timeline, if you will, of Richard and Sabina and the ministry and how they got started. In the center, also, there is this world map. And the map is color-coded, different countries and what they stand for by the colors. There are different categories of countries. The orange countries are restricted nations, the red are hostile, and the green are monitored nations. Now, the definition of those are restricted nations are countries where it's illegal to be a Christian, illegal to have a Bible. It's illegal to join together in something like this for worship. It's just against the law. And the hostile countries, the red ones, are countries where it's not illegal. Actually, countries protect Christians. However, local government officials, local church leaders, local government officials, and even families will persecute people for their Christian activities and their beliefs. And the monitored countries are countries that are turning that way. They haven't gotten as bad as the hostile countries, but they're in the process of moving there. So it's not that countries are loosening up, they're tightening up. It's getting worse around the world. There are a total of 68 countries that fall into those categories. There are 14 that are currently in the monitored, 14 in the hostile country, and 40 in the restricted country categories. So when I first met with the pastor, he asked me, are you going to just come and talk about people who were persecuted centuries ago? And I said, no. And he was kind of skeptical, I have to admit. He was kind of skeptical when we talked about what it was I was going to be doing. And as we talked and I told him about the things that are going on in this world, he changed. His knowledge about what was going on changed. And that's what I'm here for today, is to change your knowledge about what's going on in the world. Our mission statement is serving the persecuted church through practical and spiritual assistance while leading Christians in the free world into fellowship with them. And that's really why I'm here today. Our scripture verse that Richard and Sabina based this ministry on is Hebrews 13:3. Remember them that are in bonds as if you were bound with them, and those who are suffering adversity that as if you were also suffering with them. So we'd like you to become involved in fellowship with persecuted Christians. If you see the banners over here, this one over here gives you 10 ways to pray for persecuted Christians. And so you all have to look at that and memorize it before you... No, I have copies of that out on the table for you that you can take home with you so you know ways to pray. And this one over here, that one, who you pray for today. You know, we all pray for our families and friends and different situations, but you know, there's a whole huge group of our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering today for the name of Jesus Christ and what they believe. And that typifies it, the hands and handcuffs, because that's the way some of them are living. So where does this take place? I'm going to talk about a few of the countries. North Korea is one of the worst countries in the world just for people, but they have a special hatred for Christians. And anyone discovered being involved in what they consider to be clandestine religious activity are subject to arrest, torture, or even public execution. Okay? It's estimated that there are 100,000 Christians in North Korea today, and that 30,000 of them are in labor camps. Okay? Possessing a Bible, saying the word God or Jesus, or meeting together are offenses that are punishable by death. Okay? Todd Nettleton, who is the one of the people that works for the Voice of the Martyrs, was in South Korea not too long ago. Last summer, he was interviewing a man who had come out of North Korea. And this man told him the story of his mother. His mother had snuck out of North Korea into China to get some medicine for somebody in the family who was sick. Excuse me. And she met someone who talked to her about Jesus, and she became a Christian. And she went back into North Korea with a Bible. She was talking to people about Jesus in North Korea. The government found out about her. They arrested her, put her in jail. When they put her in jail, they went to her house and searched it. They found the Bible. They went back to the jail, took her out of jail, and executed her on the spot because she had a Bible. Okay, these are real-life things that are happening, people. They're not just stories from the past. They're stories about today. The Voice of the Martyrs supports people in North Korea by providing scripture to them. One of the ways we do that is we work with an organization called Seoul USA, and we release scripture balloons from North Korea from South Korea into North Korea, and the air currents are such that they'll carry them into the country, and they're timed so that they release their cargo, and their cargo is basically scripture and little plastic things like this that people can pick up and put in their pocket, and they can have scripture and read it. We used to drop in something like this. It's a lot larger and it's orange, but people over there have nothing. So they would find this, they'd read the scripture, whatever, but they'd have a hole in their roof where water was coming through, so they'd put this up on the roof to patch it. A pipe was leaking or something. They would use this to patch it. Government officials would see this. They would arrest them, put them in labor camps. And in North Korea, they don't assume that if you're guilty, that you're the only one that's guilty. They consider three generations to be guilty with you. So a man or a woman who is found guilty of something like this, their children and their parents are also guilty, and they end up in the labor camps with them. So North Korea is one of those countries. Nigeria is another country. It's one of the hostile nations. 51% of the people there are Christians, and 45% are Muslim. But the Boko Haram, which is a Muslim extremist group, has decided in 2009 that they were going to eradicate Christians from their country. And they have been very persistent in that. Since 2009, the reports that have been gathered indicate that there are over 11,000 people who have been killed. 4,000 of those people were in the year of 2014. 4,000 people killed because of their belief in Christ. And there's over 3,500 people who also were injured that we know about that required medical attention. And the Voice of the Martyrs provides medical care for these people, the victims of attacks. We provide job training for widows and other Christians who are affected. One of the things we do in Nigeria is the Boko Haram would go into a community, they would take the men out and chop off a leg. And that's a message to them not to become Christians. It's a message to all the other people around, don't become a Christian. And we provided in January of 2013 in one village, there were 18 prosthetic limbs provided to 16 individuals. Okay, so some of them lost more than one limb. Okay. June 1st of last year, Boko Haram went into a village and attacked it. They killed 27 individuals. A couple days later, on June 3rd, they came back to the village. They said, hey, we want to talk about peace with you people. So all the Christians gathered together to talk to them about peace. And all 45 of them were executed. Okay. There's many other countries that I could talk about. I'm going to kind of skip through some of it. Northern Iraq is one of the countries where a lot of stuff is going on with ISIS. And people are given four choices when ISIS comes in. They have a choice of converting to Islam from Christianity. They can pay a significant tax for protection. They can leave the area or they can die. And as ISIS was coming in, what the Muslims had done was they had gone around to the houses of the Christians and they wrote in red the letter N, which stands for Nazarene, so that they knew where the houses of Christians were, so they could go in and attack those people. China is a country that... The Chinese Constitution actually guarantees freedom of religion. However, it's very orchestrated by the government. They have churches which they call the three self-patriotic movement churches. Those are the ones that are sanctioned by the government. They basically tell the pastors what they can say and what they can't say. anything other than the ones that are... sanctioned by the government, people can be arrested, put in prison. excuse me. In 2013, they detained more than 1,400 Christians who were in illegal churches that they had captured. They recently went through a campaign where they were taking off crosses off of churches. And they gave pastors the opportunity to take the crosses down. Those who refused, the crosses were removed. And sometimes removing the cross meant to destroy the building. Okay? And some of them were even the government-approved churches, the TSM churches. I have a friend, Sarah Liu, who was... she was a young lady who became a Christian when she was about 18 or 19 years old. And she got involved in Christian newspaper publishing. The government came in and arrested her. Three different times she was arrested. She spent a total of 6 years in prison for her involvement. Sarah was tortured horrendously. They used cattle prods on her all over her body. When she screamed out, they stuck them in her mouth and burned her mouth with them. And a lot of atrocities I won't go into here, but Sarah... it's just an example of some of the people who have survived this. She was smuggled out of China by China Aid, which is another organization. And she went before the UN back in 1966 and 2006 testified about what had happened to her. So there's a lot of people that are coming out of countries, getting smuggled out, escaping, who are real-life examples, and they bring this message to us so that we know what's going on. Now, the Voice of the Martyrs, when we go into countries, we ask people, what can we do for you? And the very first thing that they ask for is prayer. They would like you to be praying for them. And I have a statement here from a lady, Irina I can't pronounce her name. She was a Christian poet. She was imprisoned in the former Soviet Union. This was back in the 80s. And she had this to say. She said, I had the physical sense of being prayed for. Even when I knew nothing and received no letters, I felt warmth as if sitting near a fire. Sometimes this happened in punishment cells, which are very cold. It was like hearing someone pray for me and thinking about me. This supported me so much. It is difficult to explain. I felt and knew I was not forgotten. This was sufficient to make me resist the more difficult moments. That's the reality of what people are facing around the world, preparing their children for what's coming. And we're fortunate that we're that far away from this, but we should be also preparing our children for what's coming in the world, making them aware of things and becoming aware of things ourselves. And, you know, I passed around the clipboards for signing up for the newsletter. If you change your mind, if you didn't sign up and it's gone by you, please come see me at the table out there afterward and please sign up. Get involved. Get involved with this. There's many, many things that we have at the Voice of the Martyrs that you can you can discover. Things about persecuted Christians. Our website, persecution.com, has links on it to all the other things that we have. Bibles Unbound is a place where we provide Bibles to people around the world. In 2014, we provided over 1.2 million Bibles. And just recently, we'll be coming out in this month's newsletter. There's 294,000 and I forget all the numbers, but 294,000 plus people who have actually requested a Bible. You can get involved by making contributions to that. You can provide information to, you can provide funding for Bibles, for action packs, or you can create an action pack. This is a bag that you can put together for them from the Voice of the Martyrs, and it includes blankets and towels, toiletry necessities, those kind of things that will go to the hands of people in the refugee camps. And frequently, they're not only just given to those who are Christians, but they're also given to non-Christians who are in these refugee camps. So it's a method of evangelizing to them, to share with them the love of Christ. You can get involved by writing letters to people. On our website, excuse me, senior moment. That's what happens after you retire. prisoneralert.com. You can go on there and you can. There's a list of people who are in prisons. You can select a person, and you can write a letter to them. You can select phrases, scripture verses, and other phrases. You can pair them together in a letter. You print it out. It comes out with their mailing address of them in the prison. And you can just put it in the mail and mail it to them. And it will get to the prison. It doesn't necessarily get to the individual, but it does get to the prison. The prison officials need to read these letters to see what people are writing to determine whether or not they can pass it on to the prisoners. And there's some interesting things that come out of that. There was a couple of ladies that were in Iraq who were arrested. They spent almost a year in prison because they were distributing New Testaments, and they were caught. And there was a letter-writing campaign that went on. And when they got out, the Voice of the Martyrs was interviewing them. And there's two things that they said during the interview process that I'd like to relate to you. One was that when the letters started arriving, their treatment got better. They didn't specify what it was about it in what I saw. I don't know whether it was they got better food, whether they were treated physically better, whether they had less labor. I don't know exactly what. But their impression was that their treatment got better. The second thing, which was very, very important, was that one of the guards came to one of the ladies and asked her to tell him about this Jesus that is the shepherd. Okay? So somebody wrote a letter that this Muslim prison guard read, and then he wanted to know about Jesus. So you can evangelize to the Muslim world from your computer, okay? And $1.15 for a stamp to get it into their hands. We provide emergency housing. We provide skills training, medical support, a number of different things that we do through the Voice of the Martyrs that you can become involved in. So I would recommend that you get the newsletter, that you get this book, Tortured for Christ, and read it, and that you then follow up and get involved in some of these things. Youth group, you have a youth group here. A lot of churches don't have those. But, you know, the Action Pack I talked about, that's an activity that youth groups can get involved in. There are a number of things that you can use. You know, not only youth groups could do that, but a Bible study group could do that. Church could do it as some kind of an outreach as the whole church. There's a number of things that you can get involved in. So I will be available in the foyer after the service and be happy to answer any questions you have, give you some more specific information, whatever it is that that I can do for you. Okay. Thank you so much for your attention. Thank you, Pastor, for having us here. And may God bless all of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bill. That's reality, isn't it? I think we need to have some conversations with our God regarding, is this really a faith that I'm willing to die for? Do I truly believe that eternal life is so much more precious than survival here on earth? And I think we need to have some conversations with our children to prepare them for what lies ahead, because we are not immune to the kinds of challenges that Syria and other parts of the world are facing.